Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. In today's show, we talk to Kurt Carls, one of the organizers for the Old Glory Run in Cold Springs, and Sergeant First Class Melody Nelson from the Yellow Ribbon Network about the Central Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Consortium. And we take a look at the Korean War and the mobilization of the 47th Infantry Division with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Wensman and Joseph Kleinschmidt. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During the month of May, we honor and celebrate National Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. The theme for this year's celebration is Leadership, Diversity, Empowerment, and Beyond. This is a theme and message which I wish to emphasize and enlarge upon in the Minnesota National Guard. Diversity is a key component of my tenure and one of the priorities which I have set for the organization. We must and will seek potential soldiers and airmen from all segments of Minnesota so that our membership accurately reflects the communities we serve. Asian Pacific American Heritage Month is celebrated with community festivals, government-sponsored activities, and educational events for students. Chinese, Cambodian, East Indian, Hmong, Japanese, Laotian, Thai, and Vietnamese communities are all part of the 42 ethnic groups in Minnesota that celebrate this month. Asian Pacific American Heritage Month first started as a week-long celebration, passed by Congress and signed into law in 1978. It was expanded into a month-long celebration by President George W. Bush. May was chosen because it marked the anniversary of the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad on May 10, 1869. The majority of the laborers were Chinese immigrants, and many suffered discrimination and hardship, lost their lives, or faced exclusion when the Transcontinental Railroad was completed. As Representative Keith Ellison said, "You can't really understand America without understanding the contributions of Asian Americans." Some of the significant contributions that Asian Americans have made to our society are through their participation in the armed forces. For example, the current Secretary of Veterans Affairs is retired four-star General Eric Shinseki, who was born in the territory of Hawaii to an American family of Japanese ancestry. In Minnesota, we have a significant connection to the Asian American community's participation in the armed forces. According to the Twin Cities Japanese American Citizens League, many Japanese Americans who served in the military intelligence during World War II were educated at Camp Savage, Minnesota. The students received accelerated training as interrogators, translators, and interpreters. Military commanders later wrote that the graduates of this program may have shortened Pacific War by as many as 2 years. Finally, the much vaunted and storied 442nd Regimental Combat Team of the United States Army, which was an American-Japanese unit, has a significant connection to our own 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. The 442nd was a self-sufficient fighting force and fought with uncommon distinction in Italy, southern France, and Germany. The unit became the most highly decorated regiment in the history of the United States Armed Forces, including 21 Medal of Honor recipients. The 442nd fought alongside the Red Bulls during the Italian campaign of World War II. I salute our Asian Pacific American community. You embody and reflect this year's theme of leadership, diversity, empowerment, and beyond. You have and continue to contribute significantly to the United States of America.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generally speaking. This week, Kurt Carls joins us. He's one of the organizers of the Old Glory Run in Cold Springs. Kurt, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having us on.
Kurt, some of our listeners might not be familiar with the Old Glory Run. Can you tell us what it's about?
Well, the Old Glory Run is a 5K run and walk and a 1K kids run that my wife and I started in 2008. And it is held in Cold Spring every year in May. And all the proceeds from that go to disabled American veterans. This will be our fourth year doing it.
Kurt, I know that you and your wife, Pam, were the founders of this. What was the inspiration for the Old Glory Run?
Well, Pam is the runner of the family, and Pam had been organizing another run in Cold Spring, the Red River Run. And in 2007, her and I were there working it, and a gentleman crossed the finish line with a prosthetic leg, and his name is John Swanson. And later, during emails, we had found out that he had lost his leg in the Persian Gulf in 91 and was just starting to run again. And that day, he finished his first 5K run with his son, Matthew. And we were so inspired by that. We were just taken back that he would have the courage to do something like that. And it was that moment that it was our wow moment, as Pam puts it, that we decided we should do something to give back to these people that are, you know, that we know so many that have fought over in Iraq, especially recently in Afghanistan, that we decided to do something different.
Kurt, how did you come to choose the disabled American veterans as the beneficiary?
Well, we had literally looked in the Yellow Pages. As funny as that sounds, we thought, geez, if we make some money, what are we going to do with it? Who should we give it to? And I contacted Fred Anderson, who is a chapter commander, I believe it is, in St. Cloud, and said, Fred, if we make some money, would you accept a donation? And of course, he said yes. And that first year, we were able to attract a little over 500 runners, which was huge for this town. And we were able to donate $14,000 that year to the DAV in St. Cloud.
There's another wow moment.
We're speaking. Well, each year it has gotten better. In 2009, we were able to do, we had 700 runners, and we donated 16,000. And last year we had 989 runners, and we donated 20,000 to them. And it really helps them, especially in their transportation program. The key use of the funds is they purchased a new van last year with the money, and the volunteers that drive that van around pick up disabled veterans and bring them to the VA clinic in St. Cloud for medical treatments to guys and gals that can't get there. So
you're doing a great job. We're speaking with Kurt Carls, one of the organizers for the Old Glory Run in Cold Springs, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Kurt, as you've just described, this event has grown every year, but it's more than a race, isn't it?
It is. It's become kind of a big family event. We've had a number of nice people show up to help us. General Shelato has been there. The Commissioner of Department of Veterans Affairs has been there. Clark Dyrud a couple of years ago. We've had the privilege of the general landing his Black Hawk helicopter right at the run and speaking to all the veterans. And there's family games there. There's inflatable games, rock climbing walls, Freedom Flight. Jim Terrilla out of St. Cloud brings the hot air balloon over and gives free hot air balloon rides.
Did you ever dream it would get that big, Kurt?
Never. No, we're over 1,100 runners registered already this year. And there's one thing I should tell you, Tom. Every year we carried on the tradition of the inspiration that we had from the first year. And each year we give an inspiration award out this year. And I just want to really bring up this gentleman's name. This year, the award is going to go to Sean Osterman. Unfortunately, Sean was killed in action in December, and accepting the award on his behalf will be his mother and family, and a lot of them are going to be there running and walking in the event on Saturday. On Friday night is when we have a social hour and give that award out at the Blue Heron Supper Club in Cold Spring, and that should be a really nice night. That's the sacrifice that we're talking about, and the ultimate sacrifice, I guess. And so that's a really nice night. So it becomes a big weekend, a very patriotic time in town here.
So. Kurt, I've looked at your website. Can you tell our listeners how to find that?
Sure. Just go to theoldgloryrun.com, or you can find us on Facebook as well at the Old Glory Run. Just Google it, I guess, but theoldgloryrun.com. Is where you'll find all sorts of information there and how to register and so forth as well.
And the race is coming up soon. Can they still register for it?
You can still register for the race. Up until Friday night will be the cutoff for that. You can just register right online. or just go to our website. And there's mail-in registrations, but at this point, I would suggest using the online registration to make sure we get it. It's really worth your while. 100% of the proceeds do go to the DAV, so this is a nonprofit event in its truest form. So
the Old Glory Run on May 21st. And they can go to your website to still sign up. And one last question. We're just about out of time.
Sure.
I understand at your race in 2009, 9 mayors from the surrounding towns signed the commitment papers to work together to become yellow ribbon communities.
Yes, that was pretty exciting. We had they used our event to sign a proclamation to start the journey on the path to become yellow ribbon cities. And we're proud to say that all 9 of them did reach that late last year, and we're awarded that proclamation, or awarded that status last year, and we're just very excited about that.
Kurt, one more time, your website?
TheOldGloryRun.com.
Kurt, you're doing a great job. Keep it up, and thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you guys for your service. We appreciate all those that serve.
Thank you. That was Kurt Carls, one of the organizers for the Old Glory Run in Cold Springs, telling us about their event coming up on May 21st. We'll continue our conversation about the Old Glory Run with Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network about the Old Glory Run. Melanie, thanks for joining us on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Hi, nice to be here, Tom.
Melanie, we've been talking to Kurt Carls about the Old Glory Run and what a great job he's doing. And he told us that at one of those Old Glory Runs in 2009, there were 9 mayors there united to become yellow ribbon communities. Were you at that event?
Tom, I was. It was, 3 years ago now. It was the neatest, crisp, cold May morning that I've ever had. It was something really neat to see. They, after the run was done, they lined up all of the, on the baseball field. They gave all the awards out for the run, and then they had these tables set with the mayors, at these different tables with these letters of intent in front of them. And around the baseball field, they had the Patriot Guard lined up with all of their flags. And there were some great words spoken, and all of the mayors signed their intent to work together at the same time. It was really moving.
You probably set a record with 9 mayors there, and they were all in agreement.
They were, yes. They were all in agreement. The towns were, it was Cold Spring, Richmond was there, Rockville, Sartell, Sac Rapids, St. Augusta, St. Cloud, St. Joseph, and Waite Park. And they were all there in their sweatshirts with their pens in hand. It was really crisp, but I tell you what, all of our hearts were really warmed that morning.
And then they went to work, and when were they proclaimed as Yellow Ribbon communities?
Well, just last fall, Tom, on our last proclamation ceremony was September 22nd in Farmington, and they were brought on stage, a group of them, to receive the proclamation from the governor for the work that they had done in the last year and a half and for the work that they promised to continue to do.
So they became the Central Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Consortium.
They did, and actually, recently they've got another name that they like to call themselves. The Central Minnesota Warrior to Citizen Initiative. This is what you often see posted in St. Cloud.
And what type of work are they doing, Melanie?
Well, they're doing a lot of really high end work. They're working with the college, and they're doing a lot of planning. Some of our Yellow Ribbon networks, we see a lot of lawn mowing and snow shoveling. But up there in St. Cloud, they're doing a lot of really leadership initiatives to connect the community. One that they did just very recently was a welcome home ceremony for the 367th Engineers from the St. Cloud area. They did a big welcome home ceremony, and they've been in parades. They have a Facebook page they launched that they push all kinds of information out. And they also have a website. It's w2ccentralmn.org. And there they post a lot of events that they have in their area for their military families.
What a wonderful side benefit from the Old Glory Run.
Yes, I can't believe it all started there. And, you know, I don't know if it all started in earnest there, but that was really, at the Old Glory Run, that was the kickoff. The momentum was really going from that day on to work together and connect all kinds of organizations in St. Paul to support military families.
Now, Melanie, do you have many other cities working to become Yellow Ribbon communities now?
We do. Dozens and dozens of cities, Tom. Just this past week, I tell you what, we had 3 open houses and 2 kickoffs. Our kickoffs were in Roseville and Moorhead for communities that are rolling up their sleeves and they're working on action plans to support military families.
Well, hopefully we'll have another Yellow Ribbon Summit to proclaim many more communities Yellow Ribbon soon.
Very soon, very soon. I don't know if the date has been released yet, so I can't let our listeners in on a secret that's not official yet. But the date will come very soon, and I'm looking forward to recognizing more cities.
And for those communities that would like to find out more information, where do they go?
Oh, sure, Tom. Of course, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. You know, that's my favorite website in the world. And there's a tab that says Yellow Ribbon Communities. You can click on that, and there's some information there that can link you up to a point of contact to get you involved.
So it's at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Yes, Tom, you got it.
Melanie, thanks for joining us for this segment. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network talking about the Old Glory Run. We'll have Melanie back later in the show for the mailbag. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. Cindy Carlson and her 2 kids were just getting by while her husband, Troy, was deployed to Afghanistan. Under normal circumstances, Cindy struggled to get her kids to school and herself to work. When their old car finally sputtered out, there was a potentially disastrous situation. But Cindy was well connected with her local family readiness group and quickly heard of a military-friendly auto repair shop. She brought her car in and got a 20% off the total bill. In communities across the state, there are plenty of individuals and organizations that want to give something back to the military community. They do it to help families like the Carlsons. But oftentimes, a business that wants to give back just doesn't know where to start. The auto repair shop in Cindy's community, however, knew how to get the word out. They started by registering their discounted services through the Minnesota Family Care Initiative. Later, they contacted Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, who posted their special event onto their events and deals page. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon put that deal onto their weekly events and deals postcard, which is how Cindy's readiness group knew about the promotion. Thank you, military-friendly businesses, for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Minnesota's military-friendly businesses, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at the Korean War and the mobilization of the 47th Infantry Division with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Wensman and Joseph Kleinschmidt. That's right here on Newstalk 100.3. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is opening a Veterans Adult Day Center at the Minneapolis Veterans Home Campus this summer. This is only the second center of its kind in the country. The center will be available to eligible veterans, spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents. This day program will offer a broad range of healthcare services designed to individually meet each participant's special need. The customized care clinical team will tailor activities and the program to meet the needs of each participant. The purpose of this program is to enable participants to achieve and or maintain the highest attainable physical, mental, and psychosocial well-being. This program is also intended to provide much-needed respite to caregivers. Respite care is a planned, time-limited break for families and other unpaid caregivers. The Adult Day Center offers this support to help maintain the primary caregiving relationship. The Adult Day Center will provide respite care as well as education, resources, and support groups for caregivers. Participants will be cared for in a medically supported social environment so caregivers can attend to their other daily needs. The center will offer a full range of therapeutic health care services in a comfortable, safe, and supervised environment. The Adult Day Center will also provide a veterans-based community experience, allowing veterans to connect with other veterans. To learn more about this unique program, contact us at 1-888-LINK-VET or on the web at minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Schellido. You can find out more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Wensman and Joseph Kleinschmidt join us. They are veterans of the Korean War and served with Minnesota's 47th Viking Infantry Division. Gentlemen, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sergeant Majors, some of our listeners might not be too familiar with the Korean War and the mobilization of the 47th Infantry Division. Can you tell us where you were before the 47th was mobilized?
Actually, I was going to school in Minneapolis, and I had my 1A from the draft board, and I knew I was going to be drafted. The Sauk Center National Guard unit received notice that they were being mobilized. They got the order on the 20, they were mobilized on the 28th of December of 1950, and they left the home station here in Sauk Center on the 16th of January 1951. After I found out that the unit was being mobilized, I came to the National Guard Armory and enlisted as a recruit, and was mobilized along with Sergeant Kleinschmidt on the 16th of January, 1951.
And Sergeant Kleinschmidt, did you enlist at the same time, or were you already in the unit?
It would have been awful close to the same time. I would have. My impression was I either wait for the draft, going for 4 years, or sign up with the Guard for 3 years, going active for 2 years. So I decided to go in with people I knew.
Was that unit always known as the 47th Infantry Division?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And
not necessarily back in the earlier days. It was what it is now, back to the Red Bull. The Red Bull, the 34th Infantry Division.
Okay.
And after that, it was redesignated to 47th Infantry Viking Division, Minnesota Division.
Yeah. Were there other National Guard divisions activated during the Korean crisis?
Yes, there was. There was the 44th Infantry Division and the 45th Infantry Division. I believe the 45th Infantry Division was out of Oklahoma, and I believe the 44th was out of California.
We're speaking with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Wensman and Sergeant Joseph Kleinschmidt, veterans of the Korean War for Minnesota's 47th Infantry Division, on Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Sergeant Major, how many men from your unit were activated?
There were 78 at the time we left Sauk Center, Minnesota.
And did that include Sergeant Kleinschmidt?
Yes, it did.
And what was your mobilization station?
Our mobilization station was Camp Rucker, Alabama. Now it is known as Fort Rucker, Alabama. It is now the aviation base for the United States Army.
And tell me about how did you get to Korea? Your unit was, they drew soldiers from it and dispersed them throughout other units. Is that what happened?
Yes, every unit received a manifest. And off of that manifest, the company commander and the executive officer had to make a decision as to what individuals would be going to Korea, or maybe some of them went to Germany. Joe and I lucked out. We went to Korea. Some of the individuals volunteered when the manifest came down to the unit. How many would like to go to Korea? And some of the individuals did volunteer and ended up in Korea. And I don't know, Joe, I think, was also picked individually and sent over also by military occupational specialty.
So, gentlemen, what year did you finally end up in Korea?
I ended up in Korea in September of 1951. Joe?
I went in April of 52, and that's when I did reach Korea itself, I should say. I left for that neck of the woods sometime in January, I think it was. I went to Tokyo, went to school, CBR school for a few weeks in Japan, and I got stay in Korea in April of 52, so between the 17 days or 16 days on the ship to go to Japan and number of days on the train to go through a good part of Japan to go to school, and then some more time on the train to go to a port to ship out, which was Osaka, to go to Busan.
Took a little more time to get there than it does today, doesn't it, gentlemen?
Well, yes, especially when you're on a troop ship with bunks half a dozen of them high next to each other and across all from you, or across the alley from you, about the width of your shoulders.
Like about 5,000 on a ship.
There's quite a few of us, yes.
Cramped quarters in a long voyage.
Right.
Yep.
And Sergeant Major, how long were you in Korea?
I was in Korea 1 year. I came back in September of 1952, and the war was still going on when I came back.
And Sergeant Kleinschmidt, how long were you there?
I was there until December of 52. The war was still going on, too, but my time was up. I spent 16 or 17 days coming back to Seattle. I was 2 days over my enlisted 2 years.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We'll continue our conversation with retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Winsman and Sergeant Joseph Kleinschmidt in just a few minutes. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Winsman and Sergeant Joseph Kleinschmidt, veterans of the Korean War from the Minnesota's 47th Viking Infantry Division. Sergeant Major, once you finally got to Korea, where were you stationed, and what type of duty did you have?
Well, when I first got there, I was a rifleman, and about 2 months later, I became a unit clerk, and about 3 months after, or about 6 months after that, I became the indigenous personnel supervisor that was supervising the indigenous people that we had working for the unit. I was stationed somewhere near Munsan, which is near Panmunjom, near the 38th parallel. And I stayed there then until I was eligible to return back to the United States. I had my required number, what they call number of points, rotation points. I had the required number of points, so I rotated back to the States.
And Sergeant Kleinschmidt, where were you stationed once you arrived in Korea?
Well, I was lucky. I was out in the middle of nowhere between the Chokyan and Kumwa somewhere. I was in a 36th Engineer Group, and a 76th Engineer Dump Truck Company. We maintained roads, we built roads, we built bridges, the group did. Our dump truck company went out on to work with other units in the group as they needed us. We had three platoons, about 15 dump trucks in each platoon. I happened to be a sergeant of one of the platoons. I went from a truck driver to a sergeant when I went over there. And
what was the weather like, and what type of topography did you hit? Did you encounter over there?
The weather was much like Minnesota. I was fortunate I got there in April and left in December, so I missed the real cold part.
I got the cold part. And
Sergeant Majors always get that, don't they?
Yes, yes, we do. And they also had the monsoon season, and we stood in mud up to our butts, you know. And at that time, we certainly didn't have the equipment that the United States Army has today. We barely found a pair of overshoes to wear in all of that mud, and it was cold. It was cold. And like Joe said, he wasn't there during the brunt of it, and I was. It was basically got as cold as it did in Minnesota, but like I said, they had the monsoon season, and that just made it really miserable.
Yeah, they had that while I was there also, spring. Actually, one of our companies was detached to it part-time. They had just finished a nice big bridge over the river. And the rain started coming, their water started coming down the mountains, and guess what? A bridge down the river went out, and it took the one that just put in out. Anyhow, when it was raining, it was so nice you could move your tents, you know, and the next thing you know, you needed two tents over your bunk in order to stay dry.
Topography in the country is very rugged and mountainous and hilly. It looked like it was pretty well devastated already by the time I got there from the early part of the war.
Sergeant Major, do you know did everyone from Minnesota's 47th Infantry Division make it back safe?
Yes, as far as I know. Not everyone from the 47th Infantry Division, but from our unit that left from Sauk Center, Minnesota, came back safe. No one was killed. We did have a couple of injuries that were wounded over there. I do know of one officer that was killed in Korea, but he did not belong to the unit that I was assigned to. He was from, I believe, he was from Creston, Minnesota. He was a second lieutenant. And when he got to Korea, he was assigned as a platoon leader in an infantry company.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for serving your country and for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Wensman and Sergeant Joseph Kleinschmidt. They are veterans of the Korean War from Minnesota's own 47th Viking Infantry Division. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. If you have a question, submit it to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Rejoining us is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. Melanie, welcome back, and what's in the mailbag today?
Well, thanks, Tom. This letter today comes from Jody. She writes, I saw an announcement in the local newspaper last week about a Yellow Ribbon kickoff taking place. I'm not a veteran. In fact, no one in my family has served, but I am very interested in supporting those that do. Can I attend the kickoff meeting, and what should I expect? Well, good question, Jody, and there are a lot of kickoffs in a lot of newspapers right now and this summer. In fact, last week we had an open house in Wadena and in Northfield and in St. Paul, and we had two kickoff events last week, one in Roseville on Tuesday night and in Moorhead on Friday. Now, to answer your question, Jody, should you attend? Yes. Please come. All are welcome. In particular, we're looking for people to come to our kickoffs who really want to roll up their sleeves and be part of our steering committees. We need people that are elected officials, part of veterans organizations, part of local civic organizations. We also need individuals from the school districts, from the community ed, from public safety, judicial leaders in the community, and we really need people to come to the kickoff events around the state here from businesses, employers that employ some of our service members. And really, the glue that sticks it all together at these kickoffs is our volunteers, our just everyday volunteers from the community, and also members of our faith-based organizations in town. Now, what happens when you get to a kickoff? Well, oftentimes, a local leader will introduce and welcome everyone and lay out some of the goals that they have for the community. And then you get to hear a presentation from our Yellow Ribbon Outreach Coordinator that talks about what Yellow Ribbon networks are doing in communities right now around the state. And I tell you, we have seen these networks unite communities that were otherwise not working very friendly toward each other. We've seen a synchronization of goodwill efforts in communities come together around the ribbon, and we've seen some service members who have been struggling with reintegrations truly helped. Likewise, their families who are struggling a little bit as their service member is deployed, we've seen these yellow ribbons step up and really support our families. Now, just last week, I was at the kickoff in Roseville, and I wrote a piece about it. It's in our Yellow Ribbon newsletter that's published every single month. You can see that on our website at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and you can also sign up to receive our newsletter. But I do have to read you this, Jody. A World War II veteran was so inspired by his attendance at the Roseville kickoff last week. His name was Kurt Moline, and he said he was so inspired that the next morning he went to the Roseville VFW to become a more active member. His membership was there, but he really wasn't doing too much. And he said, he wrote us a letter, and he said, "This campaign reminds me of Michael Ellison's Law of Awareness. Somewhere around you is someone or something to help you fulfill your life's purpose." And Kurt went on to say that he thinks Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is certainly on the right track. He says we need to wake up our society to the sacrifices of our troops and their families, and we must give them more than a nod on Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Our entire community must wake up and share the burden. And those are just such inspiring words that I got this week from that World War II veteran. Now, Jody, opportunities for you in the future. Coming up, we have several events already on the calendar. Litchfield Open House on May 21st. We have a kickoff, Yellow Ribbon kickoff event in Chisholm and Hibbing on May 25th. And also that day, we have a kickoff event in Coon Rapids. And I will post kickoffs as soon as I hear about them from the communities at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. So stay tuned there and get involved in your local network. It's really an inspiring thing.
Thanks for joining us. Melanie, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at minnesotamilitaryradiohour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Kurt Carl, organizer of the Old Glory Run in Cold Springs, Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, retired Command Sergeant Major Robert Wensman and Sergeant Joseph Kleinschmidt, Korean War veterans from the 47th Viking Infantry Division, Commissioner Larry Shelido of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the deployment of the 1st Brigade Combat Team Red Bulls with Major Paul Rickert and the Fisher House with Marge Osland. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.